Okay, good evening, everyone. It's incredible zechus to be able to share with you some words of Torah. I feel like, the truth is, I feel like today I'm spending more time in this shul than I am in my own shul. A little less traffic this evening, Baruch Hashem. But I also want to thank Mrs. Shulman, to thank Wit, to thank Nisa, to thank all of those who are, first of all, to thank Wit for in general being so preoccupied with the notion of bringing ruchnius and spirituality and education to the women of our community. We're really blessed to have such a wonderful institution within our community amongst the many beautiful institutions and organizations we have. And the Shabbos Project, which we all know, which was the brainchild of Rabbi Warren Goldstein of South Africa, an incredible, incredible idea just to go ahead and unite Jews around what we share in common. So we're so often focused on the divisions and the distinctions and the differences within the different streams of Judaism, the different streams of Orthodoxy, the different streams of Judaism, that we sometimes fail to really focus on all that which we have, which unites us. And although we disagree about many, many different things, and those disagreements at times can be quite acute and quite significant, there is so much more that unites us than what divides us. And it's so important every once in a while to take the stop and to think about what we can do to bring Am Yisrael, to bring our people a little bit closer together. We live in such a fractured and factionalized society and world. Everyone likes to retreat into smaller groups, surround themselves with people who think like them, act like them, believe like them. And the truth is, part of the beauty of Am Yisrael, you know, I'll just say this by word of introduction, this doesn't count as my shiur time, this is just the introduction. You know, my Rebbe always says that when Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people stopped, or they camped at the base of Mount Sinai, so the Torah says, Vayichan Sham Kineged Ahar, literally translated it means, and he camped there at the base of the mountain. And Rashi says, it should say, Vayachanu, they camped. Why does it say, he camped, singular? So Rashi says so beautifully, Ki ish echad b'lev echad, like one people with one heart. So my Rebbe always remarked, it doesn't say one people with one opinion, for one simple reason. Never happened, never will happen. Even when Mashiach comes, Mashiach could rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, Mashiach could bring the dead back to life, he will not get the entire Jewish people on the same page. Very important, it was never like that, it never will be like that. Nor is there a need for that. We don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to see eye to eye on everything. We could have significant religious debates, significant hashkafic debates, significant life debates. What we have to be able to perfect as a people is the ability to argue with love, is the ability to disagree agreeably, the ability to go ahead and say, I think you're dead wrong. I think you're so wrong, I'll never agree with you, and nothing you could ever convince me, could ever sway you could ever sway me to your argument. But I love you nevertheless. And I think this Shabbos Project, although it evolved in different ways, in different communities outside of South Africa, I think does offer us an incredible opportunity, both within our Orthodox community, as well as in our greater community, to reach out, to forge bonds, to create relationships and to remind each other and to remind our entire community and beyond that we truly are an ish echad belev echad, one people with one heart, even if we have a variety of different opinions. And so it's a great schos to be able, our shul is participating in certain events this week and the next week, but it's an incredible schos to be able to share with you a little bit about Shabbos. You know, when preparing for this shiur, I'll tell you, thank God I'm privileged to give a lot of shiurim over the course of the week. And for some reason, I thought this was going to be my easiest class to prepare. It's Shabbos. There's so much to talk about Shabbos. And then as I sat down yesterday to try to think about my remarks, I really hit a little bit of a dead end. And I realized something amazing. That sometimes those things which you know are so incredibly and truly important are often the very things that you take for granted. So if someone asks me what my feelings are about Shabbos, Shabbos is fantastic. Shabbos is wonderful. Shabbos is a lifesaver. But what do I get from a Shabbos on a deeper level? I realized when I asked myself that question last night in the privacy of my study that I had difficulty answering it. I had difficulty pinpointing it. And when you look, let's say in the modern day conception of Shabbos, So much of the contemporary profundity of Shabbos lies in the fact that it's 25 hours screen-free. In fact, interestingly enough, I was speaking to a rabbi in the conservative movement, and he was telling me something amazing. He said to me, you know, we don't have Shabbos like you have Shabbos. We have a different kind of Shabbos. But he said, the one movement we have made in our congregation is no phones. No phones. And he said, even when you drive to synagogue, I tell people, you still can't use your GPS. You still can't use it. No phones. No phones. The notion of a screen-free Shabbos, the notion of disconnecting from the world. We are so tethered to so many things, to our devices, to social media, to what's happening in the world, to what's happening all around us. I often find it amazing. I'm not a big social media person, but I've spoken about this before. I was once with someone who was showing me something on his, I don't know, Facebook page or Twitter account, and I saw that he had a message from a friend of his that he was out for dinner the last night, and he had sent him a picture of the steak he was eating. And I asked this person, I said, does that happen often, that people send you pictures of their food? People send you pictures of their children, of their grandchildren, of their house, of their furnishings. Do you get a lot of pictures of steaks? And he said to me, you'd be surprised how many pictures of steaks I get. Because we live in a world where we're so busy always communicating. Communicating even of the most inane and mundane of ideas. Focusing so much on what is in someone else's plate and what is in someone else's life. That we rarely take the time to really connect with ourselves. So I think in a very large way, in a very dramatic way, contemporary Shabbos has become the one day of the week where you're disconnected. I'm disconnected. The rest of the week I'm tethered in a variety of different ways. For 25 hours, I'm disconnected. And that's profound in and of itself. To remain disconnected for a full day in our technologically connected society is an incredible bracha, and we know it. You have to admit it. There is nothing more liberating than shutting off your cell phone on Friday afternoon. The moment that for the next day you are inaccessible, no one can get you, I can't check my voicemails, I can't check my emails, there is an incredible feeling of freedom, which is a sad statement on the way sometimes we live on Sunday through Friday, but that's an incredible component of contemporary Shabbos. But I'd like to take you a little bit deeper. And like to delve a little bit deeper on a pneumistic level, on an internal level, on a spiritual level. What is it that we accomplish on Shabbos? What is the avoda? What is the mission? What is the profundity? And what is the treasure of Shabbos? So if you look at number one on your sheet, there's an incredible Gemara. Amar la Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. God said to Moshe, Matana tova yesh li bebeis kenazai. I have a beautiful gift in my treasure house. V'Shabbos Shema. And what is the name of this treasure? Its name is Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh litna liYisrael. It is my desire to go ahead and give it to the Jewish people. Lech v'hodiyem. Go and tell the people about this great gift of Shabbos. And this Gemara is incredibly intriguing. Because nowhere else do you find this word matana, gift, associated with Shabbos. God doesn't say to Moshe, I have this great gift called kashrus, dietary laws. Go and give it to the Jewish people. I have this great gift called Yom Tov, holidays. Go and give it to the Jewish people. There are many great gifts. Every single mitzvah is a treasure. Every single mitzvah is a gift. Yet it is only by Shabbos that God calls Shabbos a matana. And not just any gift, but a matana tova. A good gift. A great gift. And where is this gift kept? This gift is kept in the very treasure houses, the storehouses of God. But I want to give it away. I want to give it to the Jewish people. Tell them that it is theirs for the taking. So question number one I want to explore tonight with you a little bit is why is Shabbos called the Matana Tova? It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But why is it called a great gift? A second Gemara. Take a look at number two. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Whoever keeps the Shabbos, the Gemara makes an amazing statement that whoever keeps Shabbos, even if he has worshipped idolatry, like the generation of Enosh. Generation of Enosh, a biblical figure, lived in an exceptionally terrible generation. They were all idolaters. So the Talmud says that even if a person is steeped in idolatry, and remember again, idolatry is one of the three cardinal sins, one of the three averos for which you have to sooner give up your life than to transgress. Even if I've committed amongst the worst types of sins of averos, if you keep Shabbos, Shabbos will atone for you. So whenever you see a Gemara like this, it has to raise your spiritual antenna a little bit. Why? Judaism is not a hocus-pocus religion. Judaism, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a very well-thought-out, logical system of service. If you commit an avera, if you go ahead and you commit a sin, what's the next step? Tshuva. There's a process of repentance. There's a process. There's a vehicle called tshuva. That vehicle is comprised of many different steps, many different processes, many different spiritual and intellectual and behavioral frameworks. That's how you atone for sin. There's no such thing as just suddenly, again, you eat the bowl of cholent, and amazingly enough, all of your sins are forgiven. Yet the Talmud says that if you keep Shabbos, even if you've gone ahead and transgressed of the worst averos, you will be forgiven. So how do we understand these two dynamics? Why is it, number one, that Shabbos is called such a great matana, such a great gift? And number two, what is this atonement power of the Shabbos? How does the Shabbos have the ability to wipe the slate clean, even of the worst averos? So when one looks throughout Hasidic literature, there are a variety of simpler answers to this. If you take a look at number three, we'll do some of these outside. The Arvei Nachal says something beautiful. He says, do you know why the Talmud refers to Shabbos as a matana tova, as a great gift? So look what he writes. Look at the second line. V'hainu ki ha'amar, ima amar, ki b'chala mitzvos yesh kitzas dvarim shayitzara machbid alav, shuhefech ta'avaso. Do you know what the challenge, a lot of times, we're amongst friends so we could speak openly and honestly. A lot of times the challenge we have with religion is that God asks us to do things that are difficult. To be honest, God asks us to do things that require self-sacrifice. God asks us to do things that may be challenging. Says the Arvei Nachal something amazing. Shabbos is the exception to this rule. What do you have to do on Shabbos? What do you have to do on Shabbos? You have to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat. Right? You have to sleep. Shina b'Shabbos tanug. Sleeping on Shabbos in and of itself is a way of enjoying the Shabbos. You have to spend time with your family, which could go either way, depending on your family dynamic. Right? You have to go ahead and not go into work. So says the Arvei Nachal, that's a matana. What a gift. You know, there are a lot of mitzvahs God gives me that are exceptionally challenging. Shabbos is not. Now, obviously, Shabbos comes with its own types of challenges. But the Arvei Nachal speaking in the abstract, what God asks me to do, not to work, and to essentially enjoy myself on this day, to eat, to relax, to sing, to pray, to spend time with my family, that's a matana tova. Sign me up for that. A lot of the other things in Judaism are much more complicated, are much more challenging. A lot of other things I dramatically struggle with. But Shabbos is God asking me to do things that I naturally enjoy. And as a result of that, says the Arvei Nachal, it is a great gift. Rav Lev Yitzchak Berdichev, in number four, writes as follows. Divadai Shabbos hu matana tova. Shabbos is a great gift. Why? Ratzalomar ha'or v'akedusha ba milamala l'soch libos b'nei adam. So the Rebbe Rav Lev Yitzchak explains something so beautiful over here on a magnificently esoteric level. What happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, the light and the holiness from the celestial sphere comes down into our hearts. V'ruach kedusha v'seichel chadash v'chiyos ruchnios haba me'olam elyon asher sham tanug v'chiyos shebo ginzei chayim. Says Rav Lev Yitzchak, do you know what happens on Shabbos? What happens on Shabbos is so much more than meets the eye. What happens on Shabbos is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a wave of divine energy, a wave of holiness, a wave of spirituality, and it fills our hearts, and it fills our souls. And the Rebbe says, even if you don't feel it happening, It's happening. That's the Matana Tova. That's the great gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says during the rest of the week, and this is incredible, during the rest of the week, if you want spirituality, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to work for it. On Shabbos, you don't have to work for it. On Shabbos, God does the heavy lifting. On Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes from the storehouses of holiness and spirituality that He has in the celestial abode, and He sends it down to us. He fills our hearts, He fills our souls with a tidal wave of spiritual energy. That's the Matana Tova. That's the great gift of Shabbos. We struggle so many times to find inspiration. That struggle is Sunday through Friday. Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will take the responsibility to inspire you. The Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, number 5, says something a little bit different. He says, Ki tachlis avodas ha'adam hi b'siyata d'shmaya lezakos lahamshich kedusha meshamayim v'ikra kedusha hu ba'olam haba. You know, interestingly enough, one of the tenets of our belief is belief in an afterlife. Belief in olam haba. We believe that this world is but a corridor to the eternal world to come. We're not in a rush to get to the world to come. We very much enjoy and maximize life here in this world. But at the end of the day, we believe with all of our hearts and with all of our soul. According to Maimonides, according to the Rambam, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emunah, one of the 13 principles of faith, that there is an afterlife. Says the Sfas Emes something amazing. If you're looking for real holiness in this world, sometimes it's hard to find holiness in the world, in the physical world in which we live in. But holiness can be easily found along with God in what the Sfas Emes, what the Ger Rebbe calls Olam Haba, the world to come. V'akadosh Baruch Hu heitiv imanu v'nasan lanu gam ba'olam hazeh me'ein ha'kidusha she'olam haba v'hu ha'shabbos shehu me'ein olam haba. Says the Sfas Emes, what is Shabbos? We refer to this in the Zmiris, right? In the songs that we sing to accompany our Shabbos meals, that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. It's a little window into the experience of the world to come. Why? Because the world to come is an existence that is absolutely and totally holy. Absolutely and totally ruchni. Well, I tried to find holiness and spirituality on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But I'm also drawn into a lot of mundane things in my weekday life. Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, pulls back the curtain between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Between this world and the world to come. And when He pulls back that curtain, He allows me to experience the holiness that is normally reserved for the afterlife, but He allows me to experience it in this world. So if we bring this all together, you see all of these different commentaries, the Arvei Nachal, the Kiddush HaSlevi, the Sfas Emes. Arvei Nachal explaining that the Matana, the gift of Shabbos, is that at the end of the day, God asks us to do many challenging things. Shabbos is not one of them. I will just mention, as a comment on the Arvei Nachal, it's important that we take stock to appreciate how privileged we are to live in the generation in which we live. Where if a person chooses to be Sabbath observant, that does not have to create conflict and tension in your career or in your worldly existence. My grandparents, Zichron Levracha, came here after the war. And my mother, she shall live and be well, always says that one of her earliest childhood memories was her grandfather, was an immigrant, looking for change between the couch cushions to buy milk because he lost his job every single Friday because he refused to work on Shabbos. He refused to work on Shabbos. And so week to week, job after job, he was always told the same line. Come in on Saturday or don't show up on Monday. Can you imagine a childhood memory of knowing that your father doesn't have a job because he kept Shabbos, but is struggling to figure out the way to buy milk for his young family? We don't have that. We don't have that. Today, you could be as successful as you want in any career that you want. You could even be a special advisor to the President of the United States. and you can be Sabbath observant. We don't have that challenge anymore. People have other challenges. There are family challenges. There are lifestyle challenges. There's a variety of different challenges. But whether or not a person is fully observing the Shabbos, just at least say, thank you, God, for putting me in a generation where if I want it, I could have it. Maybe I'm not going to take it right now for whatever the reason, but if I want it, it's easy, easy enough, and it's there for the taking. So therefore, says the Arvei Nachal, what a matana. God asks me to go ahead and keep the Shabbos, and pretty much what He asks me to do is stuff that I enjoy anyway. The Kedusha Slevi, Svas Emes, the matana of Shabbos is manifest in the fact that throughout the week, if I want spirituality, I have to work hard for it. And even if I work hard for it, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be blessed with it. Because sometimes you know you work to be inspired, but you don't find inspiration. What happens on Shabbos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says, sit back, relax, and I will infuse your heart, your soul, with holiness and with spirituality. You need not do anything specific. I will go ahead and simply take care of you. I will fill your heart. I will fill your soul. I will inspire you. It is me'ein olam haba. But why? If we don't believe just in the hocus pocus, and we believe that things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises are still part of some type of mechanistic framework. So how does Shabbos work? What's the logic of that? Why is it that comes Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, sit back, relax, and I'll fill your heart with spirituality. It doesn't work that way. There's no free lunches, and there's no free spirituality. If you want something in life, you have to work for it. So clearly God is telling me that on Shabbos, He's willing to give me something specific, special, and unique. But how do I tap into that? So I want to share with you something amazing. This week's Haftorah, the Parashas Vayira, contains an incredible story from the Navi. It's a story that's on, I put it on your sheet over here. It's in number 6. Melachim Beis, Perek Dalet. So let's take a quick look at the opening verse, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story outside. So the story is told as follows. V'isha achos minishei b'nei ha-Nevi'im. There was a woman who was a wife of one of the prophets. We'll discuss who this was in just a moment. Tzaka el Elisha lemar. She called out to the prophet Elisha saying, Avdecha ishi meis. My husband, who was your servant, died. Ve'ata yadata ki avdecha haya yirei Hashem es Hashem. Ve'hano sheba lakachas eshnei yiladai lo la'avadim. And this poor woman weaves a tale of woe. She says, my husband was a holy man, he was a prophet. But he died impoverished. He left us with incredible debt, to the point that now the creditors are showing up at my house and they're ready to seize my children as slaves, as servants to pay off the debt. Who is this woman? Rashi identifies that this woman was the wife of Ovadia. Ovadia was a great prophet. Ovadia actually, again, during the reign of King Ahav, who was an exceptionally evil king, one of the things Ahav set out to do was to kill off all of the prophets. Ovadia hid groups of prophets in different places. But the problem is, if you're hiding prophets, you also have to feed the prophets. Prophets need to eat also. And so he depleted all of his funds, all of his money, to feed the prophets. He dies, and he leaves his widowed wife and children impoverished. The creditor is about to come to seize the children. Elisha responds to her, Vayomer le'Elisha, ma'aselach, what should I do for you? Hagidi li ma'yesh lach babayis, what do you have in the house? Vatomer, she said, Ein l'shivchascha kol babayis ki masuch shemen. She says to Elisha, listen, all I have in the house is a small little container of oil. That's what we're down to. My last little container of oil. And here Elisha says, Vayomer lechi shali loch kelim min achutz me'ez kol shchenayich kelim rekim al timati. And Elisha then goes on to say something. He says, here's what I want you to do. Go to your neighbors. Go to your neighbors. And I want you to borrow as many empty utensils as you can. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with this story. She gathers up a whole bunch of utensils. And Elisha says, start pouring the oil. And miraculously, the widow starts pouring the oil, and the oil keeps on flowing. She fills up one utensil, two utensils, 20 utensils, to the point that she fills up all the borrowed utensils, and the oil is still flowing. Elisha says, take the oil, go sell it, pay back your debts, and the remainder of the money will be to help to support you and your children. An incredible, miraculous story. The Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, understands this story as an incredible and overwhelming metaphor. And this particular ma'amar, this particular statement or this teaching of the Baal HaTanya is perhaps one of the most famous teachings, one of the most famous ma'amaros. Ma'amaros, one of the most famous statements or teachings of the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. A teaching that has been repeated by every subsequent Lubavitcher Rebbe as well. And he understands it to be a metaphor. The truth is, I put the Rebbe's ma'amar on your sheet. It's a painting of the Lubavitcher, of the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm going to tell you it outside, but you could reference it inside if you want as well. So the Baal HaTanya understands the metaphor as follows. He breaks up the story. I'm going to break it up for you. The Isha Achos Minashe B'nei HaNeviim. He says there was a woman, literally translated as Isha Achos, from the wife of B'nei HaNeviim. So says the Rebbe, Isha, we translate it as woman, but it also means Eish, a fire. Isha Achos Minashe B'nei HaNeviim is a metaphor for the soul. There was a soul that came down to this world, and that soul is holy of holies. That soul is so dramatically spiritually luminescent. That soul descends from on high, from underneath the throne of God. Minashe b'nei hanaviim. And that soul descended again from prophets. That soul descended from Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov, from Sarah, Rivka, Rachel and Leah, from David HaMelech, from Shlomo HaMelech. That soul that is so holy comes down to this world. And what happens? Says the Navi. Tzaka el Elisha. The soul calls out to Elisha. Says the Baal HaTanya, listen to this interpretation. Elisha is a contraction. For Eli, my God, Shah, save me. The soul comes down to this world and the soul says to God, God, I'm so lost. You plucked me out of the celestial sphere. You plucked me out from my beautiful home underneath the throne of glory. And you put me down into this world. And you put me in a body, a physical body that is so fickle, that is sometimes so weak, that is pushed and pulled by the wants, the desires, the passions of life. Tzaka el Elisha. So the neshama calls out to God, Keli, my God, Shah, save me. Avdicha ishi meis. The soul says, my fire is dead. My fire is dead. I came down to this world so holy. I came down to this world on fire. I came down to this world inspired. I came down to this world wanting to accomplish something great. And I don't know what happened. Avdicha ishi meis. I'm your servant. But ishi, ish shalim, my fire has died. I just feel like I'm spiritually extinguished. So what does God say? Vayomer la'elisha. God says back to the neshama, Hagidina mayesh lechi babayis. God says to the neshama, tell me, what do you have in the house? I know that you feel spiritually dead and dormant. I know that you feel that your fire has been extinguished. But the fire is never fully extinguished. Tell me, what do you have in your house? What little spark do you still have inside of you? You understand what's happening over here? The Baal HaTanya understands that this conversation between the wife of Avadia and Elisha Hanavi is in fact a metaphorical dialogue between the soul and God. That the soul says to God, you put me down here and you put me in a body that so often leads me astray. And I feel like I've lost my fire, I've lost my light, I've lost my luster. I feel dead on the inside. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not dead. The flame never fully goes out. Tell me, what do you have inside of the house? Mayish lecha babayis. The soul thinks, and the soul says, you're right. Vatomer, the neshama says, you know, I have a little bit of oil left inside of me. There's a little bit. a little bit left inside of me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fantastic. Because all you need is a little bit of oil to get the fire raging again. The dialogue over here between the wife of Avadya and Elisha the Navi is the dialogue that our soul has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not every day, at least a couple of times a week. The soul saying, I don't know what happened to me. I used to be so holy. I used to be so special. I used to be so spiritually luminescent. And I'm not sure what happened. I feel like the fire's been extinguished. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages the soul and says, no. Look for something positive inside of yourself. And let's build on that. And the soul says, you're right. I'm not down and out. I'm not dead. I'm not dormant. I may be compromised. I may be spiritually handicapped. But at the end of the day, there's a little bit of oil. Sounds a lot like the Hanukkah story also. There's a little bit of oil inside of me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, great. Start pouring your oil. Stop lamenting how far you have fallen. Stop lamenting how tarnished you may be. Stop lamenting how compromised or broken you or your life circumstances are. Start pouring your oil. Start doing something. Start fanning your flame. And before you know it, what happens? The oil keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. All you need to do is get the spiritual juices flowing, and it's amazing what happens afterwards. But as I was looking at this idea by the Baal HaTanya, it struck me that what happens in life in those moments when you have no oil, right? What happens? There are moments in life. And sometimes we don't think about this so much. You know, I have to thank you again for the opportunity to give this shiur, because I can honestly say I can't remember the last time I thought about a Shabbos on Wednesday, or Tuesday in this case. A lot of times we don't think about life. We don't think about ourselves. We don't think about what's happening on the inside. The Baal HaTanya presupposes that there's always some oil left. No matter how compromised you may be, no matter how disadvantaged spiritually one may be, there's always some oil. But what happens in life where there is no oil? I think we'd all agree that there are times in life where I feel empty. Empty. The tank is on empty, right? The needle is below the E. Right? The light is on. I'm running on fumes. I have nothing. There's no oil in me to get the fire started. So what do I do in those moments when my neshama, when my soul says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, avdecha ishi meis. My fire is extinguished. My inspiration is gone. My spiritual luminescence has waned. It's gone. It's not here. I want it back, but I don't know how to get it back. I don't know how to be holy. I don't know how to be special. I don't know how to become the best version of myself. I don't know how to tap in to my inner holiness. You want me to find my oil? I don't think I have any more oil left. What do you do in those moments where you're unlike the neshama or unlike the wife of Avadja in the story? You don't even have a small little cruse of oil. And I think herein lies the great gift of Shabbos. This is the power and profundity of Shabbos. A friend of mine shared with me an incredible story. You know, the problem with stories is sometimes people heard stories. I think this is the kind of story, even if you heard it, it's so dramatically amazing. I'm going to read it to you. I don't know where he got it from, but he gave it to me, and I was taken by it. I'm going to read it to you. Rabbi Chaim Weintraub is a rabbi who lives in Kiryat Shmuel, Israel. He has a special affinity for youth at risk, or what he calls these young people, youth in pain. He visits them in bars and discos, in cafeterias and on streets where they hang out, smoking and getting high. He talks to them and offers them friendship. Most of them are covered in tattoos and piercings. Some have as many piercings and tattoos as the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Shortly after celebrating his three-year-old son's upsharon, Rabbi Chaim's son was at his kindergarten and complained that he had a headache. The teacher told the little boy to rest in one of the cots in the next door room, and soon the day would be over and he could go home. After 45 minutes, she went to check on him and found that tragically, he had breathed his last breath. The little angel had returned his soul to his maker. During the week of Shiva, surrounded by friends and family and community members, Rabbi Chaim was visited by 8 of these troubled young men. They said to him as a group, "We want to do something to honor your little boy. So we've decided that we will keep this coming Shabbos according to Jewish law. We won't smoke. We won't get high. We won't light fires. We won't cook. We won't drive. We will keep the entire Shabbos for your son." Rabbi Chaim thanked them and they left. One of the people who was visiting and heard the exchange remarked, "You must be disappointed. After what you've done for them, we would have expected a better commitment. One Shabbos? Big deal. Couldn't they have promised to keep Shabbos for the whole year? One Shabbos? Big deal." The man's voice was dripping with sarcasm. Rabbi Chaim turned to his visitor and said, "I want to ask you a question. How much money do you think I would pay to have my son back with me for one Shabbos? $1,000? $1,000,000? Would I give up my house, my car, my assets, my clothes, and every last cent of my savings? You know the answer. I would take off my suit and give every last piece of clothing. I would give my last shekel, my last dollar, my last cent for just one Shabbos. On Friday evening, I would come home and lift him up and embrace him. I would sit him on my lap and sing Shalom Aleichem and Eish Eschayil. After I made Kiddush, I would give him a little sip of wine. And when he asked for more, my wife would say, 'No, too much alcohol.' I would take him to wash his hands for the challah and wash his hands first so he would feel important. We would eat soup and gefilte fish and he would make a mess and join me in singing melodies. I would ask him questions from the Parsha, and he would be so proud to know the answers. I would put him to bed and kiss his head. And in the morning, I would wake him up for some cheesecake and milk, and we would walk together to shul. At shul, he would run around making a ruckus and noise, and then we would come home for lunch. After lunch, we would play ball, and I would throw him high in the air like he loved. Do you know what I would give to experience that Shabbos?" Chaim ended and he said, "This coming Shabbos, our Father in heaven will have 8 of his boys home for Shabbos. 8 of his precious children who he has missed for so long will be spending Shabbos with him after so many, many years of absence. You're wrong. Don't denigrate one Shabbos. Don't underestimate one Shabbos. You can't imagine what it's worth." And I think that from this story, we glean an incredible understanding and definition. Do you know what Shabbos is? Shabbos is the day that we come home. Shabbos is the day that we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Although during the week I may be a bit distant, although during the week I may be a bit religiously aloof, although during the week I may be a bit disconnected, I'm coming home to you on Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I know that I need you in my life. I know that without you, my fire will extinguish. Without you, I cannot become the best version of myself. Without you, I cannot self-actualize. Without you, I cannot discover my potential. So this is the power of Shabbos. Shabbos is the day that you come home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are times when I come home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say to God, I have no oil left in my utensils. There's nothing left in me. I'm spiritually depleted," because many of us are spiritually depleted. Many of us are depleted because at the end of the day, we've made bad decisions in life. We've made wrong turns in life. We've gone down erroneous paths in life. Many of us are depleted because we deal with trauma. We deal with difficulties. We deal with challenges day in and day out. And we have to use all of our energy just to keep our head above water. And I have no bandwidth for anything spiritual. And so I sometimes think to myself, I can't come home to God if there's no oil in the vessel. I can't come home to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if the fire's been extinguished. And you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers to us on every single Shabbos? You know what he whispers to us? He says, just come home. Just come home. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But don't stay away from me because you think I don't love you. Don't stay away from me because you think you're not good enough. Don't stay away from me because you think that you don't find favor in my eyes or you don't measure up. Just come home. Just come home and we'll figure it all out. It's the same thing that we would say to our children. If our children were to call us up and they were to say, I'm in trouble and I've made some really bad mistakes in life. No parent would say, well, you know what? Tell me, what did you do? What did you do? Tell me. Let's go in chronological order and maybe alphabetical order. And let's go through the transgressions, most severe to least severe. What would every single parent say on the other line? Just come home. We'll figure it out. Whatever it is, we'll get through it together. We don't realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and how much He wants a relationship with us. And so once a week, He says to us, just come home to me. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prepare anything. There's nothing special. I want you to eat. Right? He's a Jewish mother and a Jewish father. So He wants us to eat, right? He wants us to rest. He wants us to enjoy our family. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to pray. He wants us to sing. This is Shabbos. Just come home to be with your father. And even if the utensils are empty, and even if the fire is extinguished, just come home. This is why the Gemara calls Shabbos a Matana Tova. Because where else can you find the God, Master of the Universe, who just wants His children to come home? You know, we're often so focused on so many of the details of Shabbos. So many of the details of Shabbos. And sometimes we're so focused on the details of the observance of Shabbos, which of course are of dramatic importance, but we sometimes miss the message of Shabbos. How many times in our homes, if you ask a lot of people, what is the hallmark of a good Shabbos? How do you define a good Shabbos? Right? A good challenge, good. That's already even a bit more spiritual. A good Shabbos is 10 hours of sleep on a Friday night and a 2-hour nap. That's not called a good Shabbos. That's called being slothful. That's called laziness. That's called giving up a treasure for a couple. Should you sleep on Shabbos? Absolutely. And is Shabbos a wonderful time to catch up on your physical rest? Absolutely. But you know, you could go through a Shabbos and you could emerge physically rejuvenated, but your flame has not been rekindled. There has to be a moment on Shabbos, and it's just a moment, where you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm home. And I think speaking to a group of women, there is no more auspicious moment for this than during Hadlakas Neros. When you light your candles, understand what you're doing. You are bringing light into your home and you're bringing light into your mishpachos and you're bringing light into your world. But you know what you're really doing? You're rekindling your own ash. You're rekindling your own fire. Because a lot of times throughout the week, because of things we do and things we don't do, that fire gets extinguished. That fire is put out. And no matter how hard I try to relight it, I can't get it relit. So when you stand by your Shabbos licht, when you stand by your Shabbos candles on Friday afternoon, and in those holiest moments of the week, when you kindle those Shabbos candles, close your eyes for a moment, and before you start your litany of tefillos for all the people you care about, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm home. I just want to let you know, I've come home. I might be a little sullied and dirtied from the mistakes and difficulties of the week. I might be a bit compromised from the mistakes I've made over life. But I just want you to know that I'm home. And I want to promise you something. I promise you that if you say that and you articulate this when you light candles, I promise you that you will feel embraced by the Ribono Shel Olam. Because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that if you keep Shabbos, even if you go ahead and have worshipped Avodah Zarah, even if you've gone ahead and worshipped idolatry, right? What does the Gemara say? Keep Shabbos and what? You're forgiven. What does that mean? That literally, I don't have to do tshuva. There's nothing else over worship idolatry. I think what Chazal were telling us is, no matter how badly you've messed up in life, just come home. Just come home. And you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will work it out. This is the gift of Shabbos. It's the Matana Tova. It's the greatest gift of all. The ability to come back to your father. The ability to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ability to come back home, reignite your flame, restart your spirituality with no preconditions. No preconditions. Spiritual amnesty. No matter what you have or haven't done, you can come home. This is the great gift of Shabbos. But I think to appreciate this gift, with this I'll conclude, I think there is something mechanistically we have to try to build, we have to try to work on. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that what he missed most from his youth, he said in America, there are plenty of Shomrei Shabbos, plenty of people who keep Shabbos. But he says in America, I can't find any Shomrei Erev Shabbos. He says, when I was a child, I remember, came Thursday night, there was an aura of Shabbos that came. And Friday already, there was an aura of Shabbos that was there. And the truth is, for a variety of different reasons, most of all because we all have, a lot of us, have demanding careers inside and outside of the house. Erev Shabbos is a frenetic day. It's a frenetic day. And sometimes, you know what a good Erev Shabbos is? A good Erev Shabbos, especially, I think, what is it this week, 4:34? You know what a good Shabbos is? I lit candles before the 18 minutes. Ah. Art school's gonna write my biography now, right? I went ahead, I lit that. That's success. Ladies, I am no one to tell anyone how to live their lives. But don't have an Erev Shabbos like that. Erev Shabbos, you gotta figure it out. You gotta figure it out. And if it means that you have a busy Erev Shabbos, then make sure to set your tables on Thursday night. Bring Shabbos into your home already on Erev Shabbos. And figure out how to structure your schedule. Remember, I always tell people, if you had to be somewhere at 4 o'clock on a Friday, you had some other appointment, you had a doctor's appointment, you had anything else, you would be there. If you could be there for an appointment, then you could be there for your father. Then you could be there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Because we all know, a Shabbos that you run into, it takes a good couple of hours to unwind after that. And usually again, Hadlakas Neros is harried, and the Suda is harried. I have to become a Shomer Erev Shabbos. And it's difficult. I'm not minimizing the task. Especially if a person, whether a person works inside the house or outside the house, Friday, for whatever the reason, is always the most hectic day. I could have the most tranquil Sunday through Thursday. The week is going great, and everything falls apart on Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Okay. For whatever the reason, we have to find a way to become Shomrei Erev Shabbos, to prepare for the experience, to prepare to come home, to prepare to rekindle the light, to prepare, and it's not just for you. If you're raising a mishpacha, you understand that how you prepare for Shabbos sets the tone for your children's Erev Shabbos. Children who grow up in an into the 18-minute home have a compromised appreciation for Shabbos. Does it happen sometimes? Sure, it happens to all of us sometimes. But sometimes means that it's not a regular fixture. Children who see harried things, frenetic activity, because people didn't pre-plan. That's not the chinuch you want to give your children. I'm not suggesting that you're going to be sipping a margarita at 3 p.m. on Erev Shabbos with your feet up getting a massage. Okay, that's probably not going to happen. But there's a very good in-between. And the in-between is to try to figure out that by the time it comes to light neros, you're calm as you could be on Erev Shabbos. And you're in the zone, as they say. Your head is in it. Your mind is in it. Your soul is in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you the greatest matana. The greatest matana, the greatest gift. And that's the gift of coming home. That's the gift of coming back. That's the gift of reigniting the spark. The gift of reigniting my soul, even if the flame has gone out. And all HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, I just need you to show up a little bit early. I just need you not to show up in the nick of time. I need you to show up a little bit early so that when you kindle those candles and you kindle your soul, you can really feel what is happening all around you. This is the Matana Tova. This is the great gift of Shabbos. So may we be zochah, may we be privileged to appreciate this great gift. For those of us who have always grown up with Shabbos, sometimes we take this gift for granted, right? It's within our mother's milk. We've had it since we were young. So sometimes the things that you have since you're young, you take for granted. And even for those of us who are perhaps more recent arrivals at the observance of Shabbos, in whatever way we observe it, over time things become habitual and things become rote. This Shabbos is an opportunity to uri, to awaken ourselves. Because sometimes we fall into religious and spiritual slumbers and we forget about the beauty of the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. So as we enter into this Shabbos, don't be afraid to come home to your father. Because whatever you've done, first of all, he knows it already. And he loves you anyway. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just come home, reignite your soul, reignite your holiness, reignite your spark, and we will figure it all out together. In the merit of observing this Shabbos, and in the merit of observing our future Shabbosos, may we see the actualization of the words of the Gemara, that Ilmale Shamru Yisrael Shabbos Achos Miad Nigalin. If only we would all keep one Shabbos together, and not just the mechanistic details, but the spirit of Shabbos, to reignite our souls, to reunite with each other, and to reunite with our Father. Halavai Natzachos. We will experience not just a Shabbos of Me'ein Olam Haba, not just the Shabbos that as part of the experience of the world to come, but we will be privileged to experience that messianic world to come each and every day with the coming of Mashiach. Amen.